each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. It's afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I don't know why.
Good evening, good night. Somebody listening somewhere, it may be morning.
Exactly.
Yeah, it could be night somewhere else.
Anyway, how are you guys doing? Daniel, Tony, Christina,
Father, the team.
We're all here. Armando, the voice, the man of with a million voices.
Yeah.
Out in his
neck of the woods. He's got a watchful eye.
Yeah. But we had our confirmation last night. It was so nice, so beautiful.
That's great.
And, Tony's wife is one of the key. Barb, Angelica, Deanna are kind of the three key people, I guess, in just the coordinating and the forming of the catechists. And our catechists work with the parents, the families, and then, of course, we had the school. We had over 50...
Confirmandi. Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it was just beautiful. We were just talking before the show about how everybody pulls together, mm-hmm. you know, the staff, the catechists, the servers, the altar servers. And I could go on and on about things that we didn't. Like, for instance, I'll just give you an example.
And only you would know, Father, because everybody else wouldn't know.
But usually, it was a jam-packed day, as it was anyway yesterday.
Always.
So usually the bishop brings the oils, chrism oil, for the confirmation.
Sure.
And also his own vestments. So God is so good, because normally I don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before I pulled out two red vestments, because we wear the color red for confirmation, because it's
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. So red is worn for martyrs and for the passion of our Lord, and for the it's a symbol of blood, and also the symbol of the fire, the Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit. And so I thought, well, let's just pull out this other one too. So we had the two, and actually, the bishop didn't bring his vestment.
Wow!
So he wore the one, but it looked really beautiful on him. I don't see it on other people, because I wear it myself.
Right.
But it looked good on him. And then the other thing is, at the last within an hour before everybody was to arrive for the dinner, because we have a dinner, and they were all prepared, setting that up, and I thought, you know, I should maybe bring out the oils, holy oil, just in case. They always bring, but you know. Do that, and I did, and I realized the receptacle, is that what you call it, the carafe or whatever that it's in, because we keep it in like a tabernacle, it's locked away in where the Divine Mercy is, the three different oils that we use for the sacraments, and so I thought. And it just happened that Beata wasn't going to come, but she came
that's right.
Which was a blessing in disguise, too,
because
she is
good.
So into detail.
Yes,
yeah, everything happens for a reason.
Yes, you better believe it.
Did they bring the limes also?
Yeah. Well, that was the other thing. I was getting ready to go buy the limes or lemons or whatever, and they said that Becky had brought some the day before, you know. So for the confirmation, but Becky,
yeah.
So she said, we got lemon and lime and all that. For the washing, because you have to wash
after the oil.
After the use of the oil. And then, so Beata then cleaned the carafe, and we put the new wine, the new oil in the receptacle and all that, and it was beautiful. But just in case, well, thank God, because the bishop didn't bring oil.
So you were all because set.
These parishes have the oil, but they always bring oil.
Sure,
but, you know,
yeah.
Just in case. And so yeah. we had everything was, but those were just a couple of things that
details.
Happened. Everything was, it just like everything fell into place. Oh, the other thing was, and we were talking about this before the Mass, this Julian, who's been a mm-hmm. server from the time he was
a little boy,
a toddler,
mm-hmm.
altar server. I mean, he celebrates his own Mass.
I love to think of Julian as an altar server from the very beginning.
Well, yeah, well, because as a child, he would celebrate Mass in his own home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
He had his own vestments. His grandmother or his aunt made the vestments
That's
for
right.
him. And wow. he was celebrating Mass. Even to this day, he has his own chapel.
Wow.
And
yes.
he knows it's not a legitimate Mass.
Right.
And he says it on the video.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's just a service,
and he's been so consistent. Yeah. He's never wavered. He certainly wants to be a priest, obviously.
Yes,
and so he's been working with the altar service of boys, mm-hmm. and we got all those little guys. You know, you see him, and he really does
the little
a great
munchkins.
Job. So there was some controversy over him being. The long story, but you know, there's always drama everywhere. But is he the MC? I said, well, of course you're the MC. You know. And somebody questioned, you know, why he's, you know, acting in such a role. I said, we need him, man.
He was the MC?
So the bishop always brings an
yes.
MC.
Yes.
So we were having this conversation before
uh-huh.
The bishop even came. And so anyway, the bishop came and said, oh, the MC's not going to be here. So I said, so you see, Julian, you're the
wow.
MC. And he just does a great job coordinating
everything
yeah.
for a reason.
Yeah, yeah, everything for a reason.
But you know, Father, I have to say, Beata is very super organized.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody more organized than she is.
She is very organized.
Completely, completely. She had even I could go on and on about that. And she wasn't going to come because it was we had the bit. Normally she's here in the evening. She's like
yes.
the sacristan. She is a sacristan.
She is a sacristan. Yes.
And so she thought she'd take a break. And I said, well, why don't you just come for. The dinner, you don't, and then you can go home. You don't have to stay for the Mass, but just
and
come for the dinner.
That's how you pull them in, because then they don't want to go after that.
It happened that as she came, she came before, and all of a sudden, all these things, you know,
needed
I said,
to be done.
So she stayed.
She stayed, and
she was needed.
Beautiful.
She does.
Yeah. Too bad Angelica couldn't get here for the dinner, but she
good.
Did.
She doesn't need a dinner.
But she, she does.
You're terrible.
But she did a great job. They all did a great job.
That's all I'm going to say about her right now, because I'm a little mad.
Are you mad?
Yeah.
There's always drama, Father, you know.
I'm sitting here and I'm trying to be nice about it, but I'm not going to tell all her business on the...
You don't know and you don't want to know.
That means everybody wants to know now.
Well, yeah, exactly. And so Hector, I talked to Hector, and he
yes.
says, what is it that Tony was going to say? You know, he wasn't listening to the radio.
I talked to Liz, and Liz and I are on the same page. We knew exactly what it is.
Well, he didn't seem to know. He said, well, he said it could have been a lot of things.
It could have been, yeah.
You know?
But Liz knew. I talked to her.
So,
text.
We're not going to betray.
Yeah.
If
you come up to me one day, I might tell you, whoever wants to know.
Inquiring minds want to know. I
want
to know.
But it was good. It's just good seeing. We had so many people here from Texas.
Yeah.
You know, we've been had. Yeah. I'll tell you, we have a beautiful family from India.
Wow.
They're in our school. The daughter's in the school. She is just a beautiful soul. Beautiful,
wow.
beautiful soul. And the parents are very, very nice as well. And she has a brother that goes to St. Ignatius. And so they, again, how small the world is. So after the Mass, of course, you know, the bishop took a group shot with everybody, not single shots, but a group shot. And I stay away from the camera, you know, not that they want me in the picture anyway.
They
so,
do.
So it was just a bishop and the people. And I was in the sacristy. And, of course, Hector came in with mm-hmm. his wife and Magdalena. I still can't believe their grandparents and their daughter and a couple of people. And so there was, and then Eve came in, and some of the Villegas crowd representing the whole clan.
The whole clan.
The whole clan.
Because they'd all come in from Texas. And and then the principal came in and said that, you know, the family of this one student, they wanted to see me. I said, well, yeah, they could tell them to come on in the sacristy. So their whole family, they're from India, but they came in from Texas as well. They got a whole part of the family that lives in Texas as well. And so they're from a place in India that is absolutely beautiful. I mean, just it's a paradises. Oh. It's on the tip of India. I'm trying to remember the
Kerala?
Name.
No.
Yes.
Kerala. I know a couple of people from
Kerala. Kerala. I think a lot of the Indians that are here are from that area.
Of fishermen there.
Yeah, it's just
it's beautiful.
And I always ask him, why are you here? Why are you not in India? You know, because it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But they brought in, so she brought in her grandparents and wow. aunts, some uncles and aunts and cousins and all that. So we had a whole group from Texas that came up for her confirmation. And it just happened that the bishop has one of the sisters, because he's got he founded an order of sisters.
Yes.
And one of the sisters is a member of their family.
Wow, what a small world.
What a small world, yeah. So it was just very, very interesting, but it's an uplifting experience.
Yes.
A lot, as you know, Christina, because you've been through this so many years.
I thought about that, yes. I was thinking of all of you, praying for all
stress,
of you. The stress.
Getting ready. And what do we always say? You know what I'm always saying? Can't wait till this day is over.
Right.
Next week is over. Next week will be a better. It'll be a little bit. And it's never ending. And then of course, once it happens, it's just so beautiful. And you're just happy for the. It's no wasted energy. It's but the anxiety and the stress of getting things ready. You want everything to be perfect. And then at the last minute too, I told Beata, because again, she's very into detail.
Yes.
I said, you know, by the way, I said we didn't even change the clocks in the sacristy, and I don't want the bishop to see that the clocks aren't changed and think that these people are very irresponsible.
They weren't changed.
No, she said, I'll take care of it, right? So she went away. Tyrone used to do that. He used to
Tyrone,
fix the clocks.
Yeah. Tyrone, yes.
So she adjusted all the clocks. So funny. But I have that in me, too, you know, where, you know, the bishop probably wouldn't even have taken notice of it,
yeah,
but I was raised in that way that, you know, you've got to.
Yeah,
I think
everything.
It's part of the military upbringing that I had, you know. So, and it was really beautiful. Very, very happy. And what I'm going to do is we're going to pray. We'll take a break. And then I did this, you know, for the first time. This is the first year. I actually wrote a letter to all the confirmandi. Mm-hmm. So we had over 50. Wrote a letter to all of them and put it in their certificate. And I kind of want to share
nice.
That because I think it's a very succinct summation of our faith. But I'm hoping that, you know, when you think we're living in this post-Christian world, and they're certainly inundated with so much noise and so much distraction, I told them, as they all went to confession, because I heard all those confessions, over 50 confessions just in the past, since I got back, starting on Saturday.
Busy.
And then this weekend I'm starting the confessions for the first Holy Communicants.
Wow, that's just around the corner, too.
Just around the corner as well. So we go from here into Holy Week. They go into their Christmas, their Easter break. Then we go into Holy Week, and then they're back. Then we go into Divine Mercy Sunday, and then Holy Communion. But you know what we're doing this year? We're doing all the Holy Communions together, just like we do for the confirmations.
You know what? That's great, Father.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
Because we used to have the Spanish, and we had the catechist in English, and we had
the school
all separate. It's just too. We're gonna pull them all together
that's great.
For confirmation.
Even if you do a bilingual mass, I mean, I love when you can do that. You do it
right.
Well.
Yeah, right. But
I've
been
to different places, and it's...
And we'll do it. But the confirmation was, it was done all in English except the readings. We had one reading in Spanish, and then the petitions were broken off into different languages as well. But the, what was I going to say?
But that's great that you're bringing everyone together.
I think so, too. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what I was going to... say, but anyway, we'll take a break.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come. I mean, no, we're going to pray. We're going to pray first, okay? And then we'll take a break. And then I want to share the letter because I just think it's it's things you hear me say all the time. But and it was really this suggestion of Barb. She said, "Why don't you write a letter, put it in the certificate for all the confirmandi?" I said, "Well, that's a good idea. I've never done that before." And as God is my merciful judge. You know, if I'm embellishing or exaggerating, you know, strike me dead. But after she said that, I went to the chapel. This was on Friday when I had just come back.
Yeah.
And so I went to the chapel, and within 15 minutes, I wrote the letter.
Wow.
Just sat down before the Blessed Sacrament, wrote the letter.
The Holy Spirit.
That's a skill.
That's why I don't take credit.
That's a skill.
You know, so. No, it's
a skill
Holy Spirit.
From God.
The Holy Spirit.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done on me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America and the entire world to your loving care. Most merciful Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us. Touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O virgins of virgins, our mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Incarnate Word, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, everybody, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Do not go away unless you have to. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and I am 750 WNDZ.
For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Koska Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Koska Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Koska Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's one block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. You can help save a life by praying for an end to abortion in your community. Find a 40 Days for Life vigil nearby. Visit 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com, to help save a life.
Christina, stop crying. Cry, baby.
I feel so bad.
It's my party night.
You're always crying.
Ah, for crying. It reminded me of crying. For what was it? Rose. For crying. Yeah,
exactly, that's right. I was thinking of Jerry, but that was Rose. Rose, who was our secretary here
for 55 years.
55 years. Wow. And she said, and I said she's going to die with her boots on. Uh-huh. And we called the ambulance from here to take her.
And yes, she had her boots did.
On. Yeah. And she was a very stubborn woman. She was very, you could trust her. She was great.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She knew the whole history of the parish. She said, I could write a book. It would be a bestseller. And
she had a lot of stories.
She had a lot of
and
stories.
And she knew the parishioners by the last name.
Yeah.
She knew where each parishioner lived.
She was like a history book. Great woman. But stubborn, right?
Yeah, and hardcore.
So this is the funny thing about her. God rest her soul. So this was she died in, because you were already working here when she
I was where I worked under her, so I know.
And she liked you, though. She
at
really
first,
liked you.
She that didn't like me, but at the end, penis. I won her over.
You won
her
over.
She even used to defend me.
She used to defend you, and she used to confide in you.
Yes, she did.
And it told you all the...
That's how you earn. It's, today is different. People expect that.
Yeah.
But Christina earned it. She took the abuse for so long and earned it.
But she was great. And what was it that... now I figure this is... What year did she die?
It was 2005
or something.
Something like 2005, yes.
Something around that
around
time.
The, yeah.
But she had a manual typewriter. That's how she worked. And so a couple of years before she died, while she was working here, I said, you know, Rose, I'm going to get you an electric typewriter. This is before computers were really the big thing. That would have killed her. And I said, I'm going to get you an electric typewriter. It'll be much easier. She lost sleep for days.
She hated it.
Gosh. Hated it.
Because you know what? With the manual typewriter, you had to press hard on the the buttons. And with the electric, it was you just tap it a little. So she was used to pressing it hard. So it was like
beating the heck out of her.
And I'll never forget, Father. One time I came down. She called me, can you come down and help me with something? Mm-hmm. And so she didn't know what time I was coming down. So I came down and she thought it was you, the boss. So she would take her little breaks here and there. Sometimes right. she would fall asleep because she's already older.
Right.
So she heard footsteps, so she started typing. She had no paper on the typewriter. I started laughing. I said, you thought it was funny.
She was so funny when I think about that. Wow. She said, I just have a good cry right now.
I feel down in the dumps.
The dumps.
Anyway. She was great. What great memories.
God rest her soul.
God rest her soul. Yeah. She was great. For 50 some years. She's, 50, you know, yes. Over 50 years.
And she never got sick.
I mean, never got sick. Never got sick.
Only that one time that the ambulance came to pick her up. That was it.
Wow.
That was it. And, you know, but God bless her. You know, I used to pick her up towards the end. Mm-hmm. For the last... 10 years
yes.
of her life, I would pick her up and take her home. Actually, I would take her out to dinner because that's mm-hmm. before we had evening masses.
Yes,
and she really enjoyed that. I would take her out. Yes. We always went to Salerno's. Mm. You know, it was always to Salerno's. She really liked that. And then coming pick her up for work, she'd ask me that, "Can we stop by McDonald's?" And
she loved McDonald's.
Yeah.
And then from Wendy, she loved her Frosty.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
I used to take, when she was at the nursing home, I would visit her and take her, "Do you want a Frosty?" Yeah. And when I would give it to her, she's like a little child. Oh, this is good.
Hey, you know, think how things have changed.
Yeah, I was even, just thinking
even
about
that. When she was here, so she would take her, because Christina worked upstairs. Mm-hmm. Now, we're in the office.
Daniel's
in her office.
Exactly. Yes.
And then this is where the people would come in.
Right here.
You know,
that I remember.
Yes. Yeah.
And so the kitchen is over there, and she would have her lunch break, and we had television.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would go down and watch the news.
The news, Channel 9.
Channel 9,
the 12 o'clock, 12 noon.
And wow. I don't know, does anybody even own a television anymore?
There's people.
Oh, Father, remember, she used to have a little radio.
Yes,
and it was
this is
on
cool.
the station that
right.
had all the oldie,
right.
all the music from
That's
back
right.
in the 30s, 40s.
That's right.
And one day it switched. They that went out. And they started putting more modern music in.
She was like,
"This is terrible. They took my music away." Yeah. She was so upset.
Yeah.
Good old Rose.
Yeah.
Bastanowicz.
Bastanowicz.
Very Polish. Okay. So anyway, this is, you know, Barb made the suggestion. Barb's mm-hmm. oversees the catechetical program together with Angelica, Tony's wife, and Deanna.
Deanna.
That is. And they're just great. And Barb made the suggestion. She said on Friday, you know, I came back from my retreat, and she said, why don't you think, if you have, you know, not to pressure you, but she said, maybe write a letter to the confirmandi, and we mm-hmm. can put it in a certificate and have something as a keepsake and something they can go back to. I thought, well, that's a good idea. So I went to the chapel, and as I said before the break, I sat down, and I just started writing, and within 15 minutes I had written this, and you've all heard this,
mm-hmm.
but before. But I just want to share it with you because I think it. Well, in any case, you know. So I say, on the occasion of your confirmation, March 13th, 2024. I says, you know, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, because we had students and adults as well. So in the gospel, Jesus spoke a truth that is echoed through history: the harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. Through the whole of sacred scripture, during the time of the prophets, during the time Jesus was with us in the flesh, and ever since his suffering, crucifixion, death, resurrection, ascension, and ascending of the Holy Spirit, God raises a question: who will go for us? Your confirmation is a response to his call, much like that of our holy ancestors. Here I am, Lord. Send me, I come to do your will. For God's salvific and sanctifying work to be accomplished, he always relies on those who faithfully, perseveringly, courageously, and heroically renew daily their covenant with the Lord. The Lord never deceived us in saying it would be easy. Quite the contrary. The enemies of the soul will deceive us. Those enemies would be the world that renounces its creator and redeemer, the free reign of the flesh, and the devil, who the Lord calls the father of lies, the prince of darkness, and the prince of this world. God never deceives us. God's honesty draws us into the holy faith and into his life. As Jesus says, no one goes to the Father of all souls but through me. As you've given public witness through confirmation to remain with Christ, to follow him, and to heed his call to discipleship, never forget that you were created in his image and likeness, are created in beauty and goodness, and loved into life. You are not your own, as Jesus said. Rather, you are created by God and for God. He is the artist, and you are the work of his hand. If you remain disposed, receptive, and docile to the inner working of the Holy Spirit, the trials and tribulations, the distresses and persecutions of our lifelong journey toward the homeland are realities that constitute life in this world. We do not flee the wounding experience of this world. Rather, we are in the trenches, fighting the good fight in the knowledge that victory is secured and all things work to the good for those who love God. As Catholics, we know the world does not revolve around us, and we take great solace in the only stability and constancy in life, which is God. He is the center and foundation of all things, our good beginning and good end. Remember always that God is demanding. He's not permissive. He holds you to a high standard, and thank God for this because it is a testimony to his belief in you. Remember as well that he is all-powerful, and yet a power he does not have, is the power not to love you. In view of our sinfulness and shortcomings, his greatest attribute is mercy. Thank God for this. Also remember, Jesus said, if you are unfaithful, I remain faithful. But if you deny me, I deny you. He respects our freedom, otherwise his love would not be love. When all is said and done, it is man and woman who condemn themselves. Christian love emulates that of Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary, indeed, the love of all faithful disciples. It is love that is sacrificial, love at the service of others. We love in response to God's love for us, and this is reflected in the love we have for others. In word and deed, we call others away from sin and falsehood toward truth and holiness. Finally, as full-fledged members of the Church, that is, the mystical body of Christ, you bear enormous obligation and responsibility to counter the disorder and falsehood so characteristic of the world in which we live. We live in an ongoing spiritual battle against the powers and principalities of this world. The attack on your dignity and grace, your intelligence and knowledge, come from all sides. For this reason, prayer is indispensable. As Saint Thérèse of Lisieux said, prayer is a surge of the heart. It is a simple look toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and of love embracing both trial and joy. Never fail to let a day go by when you do not nurture your life in God through prayer. Jesus said, go into your inner room, be still, and know that God is God. You needn't say anything. Your Father knows all things. Let your prayer be the daily offering of your life to God. Ask daily to be infused with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Mass and love for the commandments of God are the keys that unlock our entrance into the great mystery that sets us free and ensures for us eternal life. The Mass means missio, or mission. By virtue of your confirmation, you are bound to a mission to make God known loved and served. In the Mass, you renew weekly, perhaps daily. In the Mass, we renew weekly, perhaps daily, our covenant with the Lord. We enter into the sacrifice of Jesus, offering our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. St. Paul reminds us, the offering of ourselves to the Father through Jesus brings us to the banquet of the Lamb, who feeds us with himself, that we not collapse, and that the Lord reproduce his life in us. There's nothing more beautiful in all the world than those who allow the potter to mold the clay of their lives. The world needs not duplicity or hypocrisy from those who belong to Christ, but rather authenticity in the lived experience of the Catholic faith. It is not an easy path God has chosen for you, but so necessary for your salvation and sanctification and for that of those you love. I conclude with these words I love very much because they ring true to our journey through this life and in this world. These were the last words Jesus spoke to the disciples before he made his descent to the Garden of Gethsemane on the eve of his suffering, death, and resurrection. In this world, you will have trouble, but take courage and be at peace, for I've conquered the world. Entrusting you to the solicitous care of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Father Anthony.
What a beautiful letter, yeah, Father.
That's nice.
Doesn't it just kind of bring everything into perspective?
Yeah. Yes.
You know? And my hope is, you know, that they'll go back. Let me just say, there's a realism to our faith, and that's what draws me into the faith, is that it's, and again, you've heard me say this all the time, it's our faith. It's
yes.
The faith of the Church. It's Scripture. But this dumbing down or the watering down or the, you know, the superficiality of it all, the shallowness of approach to the faith makes it all irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm thinking especially of these young people, to speak to the reality, don't you think?
And you so often remind us, Father, what Jesus said, it's not going to be easy.
It's going to be easy.
Life is not easy.
No.
It's very hard, but that's why we have to stay close to him.
Right. And that's reality.
That's reality.
That's reality. And nobody will escape it.
Mm-mm.
And part of the problem with the young people, and maybe this is because of TikTok and Instagram. I don't even know what Instagram is. It's one of those social media outlets.
Yeah.
But these young people, they think, and not only young people, I just many people, older people too. They think there's something wrong with me because I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it says, you know, Jesus, that's where the Lord never deceived us. That's where I say the world will deceive us, the free reign of the flesh, the devil. And in deceiving us, they bind us, enslave us. But God never deceived us. And again, that's what keeps me in the faith, is because I know this is where truth is. Herein lies the truth. And the Lord said, you know, pick up your cross and follow me.
And it's sacrifice.
That's
whoever says, and I hear this a lot, that it's not about sacrifice. Don't mention it. It's not about the cross. And even now in Lent, this is the time. This is, for me, especially, and I take this opportunity to say it, what's drawn me closer to Christ is just knowing the story. And you've said it so many times. Get into the story.
Mm-hmm.
But then how do you then walk away from this Holy Week or, you know, or Good Friday and then you say, oh, there's no sacrifice. There's no cross. Let's make it nice. Let's make it easy. Let's make it. We need this.
It goes back to the previous show we had, you know, where I said, you know, if we cannot avert our attention away from what is central to our faith, which is the cross, the sacrifice. And, you know, now many would say, and I happen to be a resurrectionist, so I'm part of the Congregation of the Resurrection. It's a religious community of priests. So you've got the Jesuits, the Franciscans, Dominicans, resurrectionists, Vincentians, Salesians, there's hundreds of Augustinians, many different orders. And then you've got your diocesan priests, those who are ordained for the a specific diocese or archdiocese. So I'm not a diocesan priest. And diocesan priests, for the most part, spend their whole lives within the diocese, and they're under the very direct authority of the bishop or the cardinal. I'm too under their authority, but I have another superior who is my provincial, who's in charge of, who oversees the movement and the work of our, the members of our community, our religious order. And so we could be sent to California, to Tanzania, to Bulgaria, to Poland, you know. Normally we're or Canada, so we get different provinces. So there's a province, a Polish province, a Canadian province, a USA province. But within those provinces, you know, they, I think the Canadian province, actually it's the Polish, well, no, there's been, because we have guys from the Polish province as well as the Canadian province who work in Tanzania, depending on how you pronounce it, in Africa. But we've also got guys, many from Poland as well as from Canada, who work in South America, in Brazil and Bolivia. So religious orders can be sent all over the place. They're not bound to a diocese. And certain dioceses may take on a mission. I don't know that the Archdiocese of Chicago has a mission now. It used to have one in Chiapas, in Mexico, for a while. It was for a short time. I don't think they do have any. They no longer do. And part of the problem is there's fewer priests.
Yeah.
And so they're actually bringing priests in from Africa, mostly from Africa.
A lot of Africa. Africans.
Because they're booming with vocations in Africa. Yeah. And that's why even in our own religious community, where we're really growing is in Africa. In Africa. So, but why did I bring that up? Because why?
Keep talking, it'll come to you.
It'll come
to you. Yeah. You're supposed to help me. That's why you guys are here. but anyway, it's whatever.
We're talking about sacrifice. I don't know if that helps anything.
No. Anyway,
the call?
The point is, you know, that people today are afraid of commitment.
Yeah.
And this is a problem among the young as well.
And they don't want the suffering.
Well, in some ways, well, of course. Sad to say, but there's a lot of people who have suffered from broken commitments and broken homes and broken marriages and all that. And it creates, there's a wound and a fear.
But see, there is, and I see it too with a lot of people today, that you don't want the suffering. And I don't say so more so.
Who wants the suffering?
But I mean, there is, when you break it down, even Jesus said it. That's why, again, I tend to, especially at this time, go back to what Jesus said. And I really think it's the part of the devil or the influence of the devil to say that there is no suffering, that it is nice, it is great, we can help.
Oh, if God loved you, why would he allow you to suffer? That
Which is a common justification for renouncing God.
Exactly.
Resurrection, that's why I brought it up.
The resurrection.
Because I'm a resurrectionist, but there is no resurrection without the cross. So, you know, yes, we can... Yeah, and this is, by the way, so a lot of non-Catholics, Protestants, those in ecclesial Christian communities will fault us on displaying the crucifix, which is, you know, the cross with the corpus on the cross, Jesus crucified on the cross. And I heard this, I used to hear this growing up all the time. You know, why do you Catholics have the cross with the corpus? Jesus is risen from the dead. So they'll have an empty cross. And my response to that is that, yes, he suffered death in order to redeem us. The priest who is the victim, as we were talking on Tuesday, he's the priest. He offers himself the victim, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He took our sins into himself so that, again, as I've said many, many times, nobody can say, God doesn't understand what I suffer in the mind and the body and the soul and the spirit. No, that's, and I always say, you know, that there's not a day that, has anybody ever had a day where you haven't suffered something, you know? But he, yes, he died once and for all on Calvary. That's the pivotal moment in history, salvation history, the history of the human race, as we talked about on Tuesday. And that pivotal moment is made manifest in the altar, in the Mass, in the Holy Sacrifice when the host is raised. And that brings us to Holy Communion or to the table of the banquet, as I wrote in the letter. But he redeemed us, saved us, but we're still in history. So we still sin, and we've yet to die. And so the, as I wrote in that letter, the salvific and sanctifying grace of the sacrament or the messianic hour, the suffering, death, resurrection, ascension, descent of the Holy Spirit is not repeated. The sacrifice itself is not repeated as the many non-Christians, many non-Catholics would say, you know, you guys, you speak of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, he's already died. Yes, and we say, yeah, of course we know. He died once and for all to save us from our slavery to sin and death. But we're still sinners, and we yet to die. So that single salvific, sanctifying act, Jesus offering himself in atonement for our sins, is not repeated, but perpetuated, renewed, represented until he comes at the end of time. And what is that but the fount of the divine mercy, the spring from which the blood and water flows in a perpetual way, that we're being in a perpetual way washed in the blood of the Lamb, so that we enjoy the salvific and sanctifying grace of that single act that is not repeated, but perpetuated, the fount of the divine mercy. Because what is a spring? But a spring is, like, you take Lourdes in France, where Our Lady appeared to Bernadette and told her to dig into the ground. She brought forth that spring that's been gushing forth water perpetually until this day. And millions of people every year go there to bathe in the miraculous waters of Lourdes. Some have physical healings, and most have spiritual healings, you know? So, and actually, as I'm speaking about that, that's kind of a bit of a metaphor or a real, not prefiguration, but a type of image of the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, so, yeah, but sacrifice is key, you know, and we don't want, and so when people say that, I mentioned this, one of my students years and years ago, who said, you know, Father, I don't believe it. You're going to be shocked. I'm going to shock you. I said, shock me. I'm really going to shock you, Father. I said, okay, shock me. He said, I don't believe in this stuff. I don't believe in God and all this religion and all that. I said, okay. So what do you believe in? He says, I believe in man. So what I say, well, what does man do to man? And so, I got to think about this.
he walked away.
I got to think about that, you know?
Made him think.
It's not God. God redeems us. God saves us. God, yes. That was the reading on Sunday. God, so, the Father so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save. But the verdict is, as Jesus said, the verdict is people chose to stay in the dark. The light came into the world, but the people chose darkness and chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. We got to take responsibility. Yeah. We have an obligation. We'll take a final break, okay? And then we'll come back and wrap up. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Koska Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Koska Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Koska Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's one block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we kind of wrap up. But, you know, it's today, so we're actually, you know, today I noticed, and I don't know what the readings were yesterday. Because we had special readings for confirmation. But there's a point, I think we're at this point now in Lent, where things begin to intensify. And this is a reading, because again, nothing new under the sun, right? But from the book of Exodus, this is the reading that's being read at Mass throughout the world. The Lord said to Moses, go down at once to your people. And that interesting, said, go down at once to your people. Before it was my people. He says, go down at once to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved, whom you brought out from the land of Egypt. God is the one who really brought him out. Mm-hmm. Moses was the emissary, the instrument. But God is, in a sense, there's a certain kind of detachment. So go down to your people mm-hmm. at once, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it and crying out, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. The Lord said to Moses, I see how stiff-necked this people is. Let them alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation. But Moses implored the Lord his God, saying, why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and with so strong a hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent, he brought them out that he might kill them in the mountains and exterminate them from the face of the earth? Let your blazing wrath die down. Relent in punishing your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own self, saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised, I will give your descendants as a perpetual heritage. So the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of like the prodigal son.
Yeah.
When the oldest brother, when the prodigal son, the younger brother went away and spent his inheritance on a life of dissipation, prostitution, evil things, then ended up destitute and decided to go back. I'll go to my father and, at least I can be a slave and a servant. I'll have food to eat. And he goes back and the father runs to him and he embraces him. And the boy said, the son said, I will say, Father, I've sinned against God and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But the father embraced him, loved him, kissed him, put on the ring on his finger, gave him back, put a robe on him, sandals on his feet, the kill a fatted calf, let's have a celebration. The son of mine who was dead has come back to life. He who is lost has come back to life, or has been found. And then when the older brother heard of it, he heard the celebration, and he said, what's going on? And he said, oh, your brother is back, and your father's, you know, rejoicing. He's happy. So, and the brother was said, it was very, very angry. And the father came out and said, your brother. The son said, Father, your son, mm-hmm. Dissipated or squandered his wealth, rejected you, squandered his wealth on a life of dissipation. And here you are. You're throwing a party for your son who abandoned you, who rejected you. And the father said, I don't maybe have the words exactly right. The father said, my son, you've always been with me. You've been faithful. You've
Everything
been loyal.
That's mine is
it's yours.
Yours.
But your brother, mm-hmm. your brother who was lost has been found. Mm-hmm. Your brother who was dead has come back to life. It's interesting.
Even when he said your son, he didn't say my brother.
Right. So, is it your son?
Your son.
Exactly, yeah. So it's reflected in this reading from the book of Exodus here as well. But, you know, it really, and just to end the show because we're at the very end, but that's why, you know, we, like I said in the letter to the confirmandi, that, the Lord is asking, the harvest is plenty, the labors are few. Who will go for us? And he relies on those who faithfully, perseveringly, courageously, and heroically renew daily their covenant with the Lord. And we do this in the name of those who are fallen or lost or have been deceived or disillusioned or whatever. Mm-hmm. We stay like Moses. And that's a beautiful thing. See, they say Moses was a man who talked as to God as a friend to a friend. And so he's imploring on behalf of the people. I just love the switch. Mm-hmm. Your people. But God says to Moses, your people are depraved. And Moses says, your people. It's mm-hmm. your people who you delivered from their slavery in Egypt. But that's, we have to enter into that kind of relationship with mm-hmm. God, that we talk as a friend to a friend on behalf of those who are fallen, those who are lost, those who have been deceived, those who are disillusioned. And many are today. But we stay the course. We fight the good fight. We're in the trenches. We're in the breach, interceding on behalf of all. All right, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.